Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Happy to have you along today as we begin the program by taking a look at Macintosh computers, iPhones, iPads, you name it. Many people have. I was thinking about this, and I have a desktop and a laptop and an iPhone and an iPad, and Joe Rhodes does too, I'll bet.
I have more than a few Apple devices floating around my house.
Joe's an independent computer support specialist. He specializes in Apple products, and great to have him with us today to answer your questions about Apple computers and other devices. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page. You can post there at the Larry Mueller Show. You been a busy guy? Or
been a very busy guy lately.
Good. What are you up to?
Well, besides playing a lot of hockey, but I don't suppose that counts, does it? No. It's been a busy world on Mac. Apple has been introducing lots of new toys and gadgets. They introduced a new iPad. Speculation is running rampant about a new iPhone. They've been starting to release details about their next operating system, macOS 10.8, which seems like just yesterday we had 10.7. There's been a lot of new information to absorb.
I heard there was going to be, they were thinking about a smaller version of an iPad or something.
There is a rumor about that, the so-called iPad Mini. Now, of course, Apple doesn't tell us anything about a product until they're actually ready to sell it. But the speculation is they're going to do, they did this with the iPad, the iPod. Mm-hmm. They had the iPod and then they said, ooh, now we've got the iPod Mini and it's just like the other one, but smaller and more convenient. So speculation is that Apple might step into a 7-inch tablet market. Right now, their tablet is roughly like 9-something inches, right. About the size of a sheet of paper.
Yep.
If you think about a sheet of paper, that's roughly the size. And they're saying they might go with a smaller tablet at a lower price, both for people who have, smaller hands, don't want to haul a bigger one around, and also for people who are more price conscious. But we won't know until Tim Cook gets up on the stage and starts talking.
Well, have they been talking much about the virus? A virus, finally.
There is. There is a virus for Mac that Windows users will be familiar with this story, but if you haven't updated your Mac and you go to a website that has a flaw built into it, and there's plenty of them out there, you can finally pick up a virus without having to do anything. And this is, this is a new for us. So here's what happens. There is a programming language called Java, and Apple includes that in previous versions of macOS. 10.7, it was not included by default, but if you're a user of the Adobe Creative Suite, you would have installed that to get the Creative Suite on there. And if you go to the wrong website, like I said, you can pick up this virus, and it's basically watching to see what you're doing and see if you're doing anything interesting, and then may send it back to someplace in Russia. Now, as it turns out, it's really easy to fix this. You go under your Apple menu, you choose Software Update. In that Software Update, among others, you may see one for a Java update. That's the one you definitely want to run. You want to run that Java update. It'll do two things. Number one, it will seal up the hole that let this virus in there in the first place. And the second thing it will do is if you are infected, it will clean you up. So it's pretty easy to get rid of it. And get yourself patched up so you don't have to deal with it in the future. All you have to do is go under the Apple menu and say Software Update. As a general rule, when those Apple updates come up, or if you want to, check yourself, you go under the Apple menu and say Software Update. Good idea to do those in general. Just make sure your Mac is up to date. That will keep you ahead of the game as far as a lot of these viruses that come out and other inconveniences. And Apple also pushes off a lot of fixes when people say, hey, I push this button and it doesn't work. Apple is listening to that sort of thing, and they push out a lot of fixes. So it's just good maintenance. It's like changing the oil on your car. You want to do it.
I wanted to mention iCloud. We're hearing an awful lot about iCloud. I've had people say, what the heck is iCloud? you want to talk about it a bit?
You bet. iCloud is Apple's new online service. In the old days, we had our iPhones and our iPads and our iPods, and the central repository for all of that stuff that was on these devices was our Mac or our PC. It was a computer that we had in our possession. Now, what happens is Apple has decided, people might want to use their iPad and not even own a computer. Or maybe they own more than one computer in which case which one computer becomes the central hub. And Apple thought, hey, there's a better way to do this. We'll make the central hub up on the internet. We'll host it on our servers, and you'll access that over the internet. So now the idea is your iPad, your iPhone, your Mac, your PC, etc., all synchronized to Apple's server up on the internet. Now, this has the practical advantage of, number one, let's say you're an iPhone user and you're an iPad user, and you have your calendar. Well, if they're synchronized via iCloud, when you make an appointment on one, it will synchronize
up, on the other.
Up through the internet and then back down onto the other. Your phone will automatically back up to Apple servers so that, let's say, your phone were destroyed, stolen, lost, etc. Well, you go to the Apple Store, and I just had this happen. You go to the Apple Store, you buy a new phone, you punch in your username and password, and within 20 minutes, your contacts are back, your calendar, your applications, all your text messages, everything. It's like you never lost it. It is. It's magic. It's amazing. I got a new phone, and 20 minutes later, the text message I was halfway through typing was on my new phone. It was shocking. So that's in a nutshell what iCloud is and what it does. And the best part is it's free if you own an Apple device.
We have an email from Lynn in Madison who says, I plugged my iPhone into my work desktop as usual to charge it and sync my calendar. But unlike usual, it seems that Outlook overrode all other syncs. I lost all the photos on my iPhone and they weren't saved anywhere else. A lot of them, you know, irreplaceable. Is there any way to recover them, even though the phone says they were deleted? Are they maybe in the cloud somewhere?
Well, you know, speaking of iCloud, if your phone had been using iOS 5, that was the operating system Apple released, 6 months ago or so, and you were backing up to iCloud, yes, you should be able to restore your phone from an iCloud backup, or if you were backing up to some other computer, maybe your work computer or maybe a home computer, if you were doing that via iTunes, so if you weren't using iCloud for backup, the other way of doing it was via iTunes, you should be able to restore from one of those. So what I would do is, first off, just you have to know which system you are using. Were you using the new iCloud or were you backing up via iTunes? And then do a quick Google search on instructions for how to restore your phone from a backup.
Okay.
Just be careful, though. If you restore your phone from, say, a backup that you took 2 weeks ago, you will lose between now and 2 weeks ago. So make sure you kind of look through and save anything in between there. So you have to be a little careful when you're restoring. But, yes, you should be able to restore that if you were backing up. And Apple makes that pretty automatic. So.
All right. There we go. Claudia and Eau Claire, let's turn to you now. Hi, Claudia.
Good afternoon. I got a question. A couple of months ago, I updated iTunes on my PC, which I'm running XP, Windows XP.
Okay.
And then somehow, it was a while later, and I can't tell you exactly when, but I found out that almost all of my music library had disappeared. I have the library on both my iPad and my iTouch. Is there any way to bring it back from the iPad or the iTouch back into iTunes on my computer?
It's a little complicated. If the library was primarily music that you had purchased through the iTunes Music Store, so if you bought it from Apple, yes.
They were basically all CDs.
CDs that you had converted, sure.
Right.
Then things are a little more complicated because Apple, by design, kind of makes that impractical because they don't want the iPad and the iPod to turn into a vehicle for people to steal music. So they purposely make it a little tough. There are third-party utilities that you can go out and get that will do what you want because that music is obviously in existence on these devices. Apple just doesn't give you a clean, easy road to go down to pull that music back onto your PC. But it is doable, and like I said, you can find third-party utilities that will do this, and probably even third-party instructions if you want to get a little technical that'll help you do it. But I suspect a third-party utility might be a couple of dollars, but that might be the easier way to go. The bigger question, though, is why these music files disappeared from your PC, because that's a little odd, and you might want to track that one down first. That might be easier. It's possible that maybe these songs were on an external hard drive, and maybe that hard drive isn't connected. or perhaps they, you know, if they were deleted, if you can restore them somehow, I'm not sure, but it's a little odd that those music files would just disappear on their own.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how they disappeared, but I know it happened,
yeah,
you know,
unless,
after my last update of iTunes, and I didn't notice it for a while. So,
sure.
I've searched everywhere, backups, everything else, and I can't seem to find them. Why I asked the question.
Well, it should be possible to get them off your iPod or your iPad. It's just going to be a little tricky, but it's definitely doable.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And Sunny in Dousman. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a Dell laptop that I've had for, a year or so.
Okay.
And about 6 months ago... my cat jumped up on my kitchen counter and set a mug of cocoa flying into the right-hand side of the computer.
Oh, no.
So I thought, uh-oh, I can't afford a new computer. But I tipped it upside down and hoped everything would run out and didn't use it for a while. And when I turned it back on, it worked.
Okay.
Now, however, I've been writing some things in my computer and I try to use a 12 font or maybe a 14, depending on what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, the computer will flash back to like an 8 font, which I can't even read, or it will go to something absolutely gigantic.
Sure.
And it stays there. I can't get rid of it. I'll try to reset the font, and it'll say it's reset, but it is. It'll say all the time that I'm using a 12 or a 14 when it looks more like 112.
Well, Sunny, I'll be honest. You know, my area of strongest expertise is definitely in the Apple world and the Mac world. But what it sounds like is that Cocoa may have gotten into the keyboard. And it may have shorted out or is making a connection so that the keyboard thinks you're pressing a couple of keys that you're not. And I'm wondering if one of those key combinations that are getting pressed is a keyboard shortcut that changes your font size.
What
I would probably suggest is if you can take the laptop into somebody who can maybe take out the keyboard and maybe they can clean the keyboard. It's worth a shot, or maybe they can get you a new keyboard without having to replace the whole thing. Kind of hard to say. But
at least try a new keyboard to see.
Yeah. Because my hunch is that keyboard is somehow sending a signal that you've pressed keys and that's changing your font size.
Yeah. So good.
Okay. I work in a church, but I have my own computer there. And so I asked the secretary if she could figure out how to change it back, and she did. And she said what she did, but I can't change that. I suppose it says if you throw cocoa on me, I won't be your friend anymore.
There you go. Well, good luck, Sonny. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Oh, man. Joan in Eau Claire. Hi.
Hi, Joan.
Good morning, Larry. Love your show.
Thank you.
Good morning to your guest. I've always owned Microsoft computers, and I will need to purchase a new computer, and I'm entertaining the possibility of purchasing an Apple desktop product. What would you recommend?
Well, I guess it depends on what you plan on doing with this computer. You said you wanted a desktop as opposed to a portable?
Yes. I found that my when I had a Microsoft laptop, it did not last as long as our desktop.
Okay. Is that because it physically failed, or it just didn't have enough horsepower by the time you got a couple years on?
Oh, no. It wasn't about horsepower. It just, the drive went out.
Ah, got it. So, let me ask you this. What do you like to do with your computer? Are you editing movies? Are you listening to music? Are you browsing the web? Something else?
I do my writing, and I have one large project that I'm working on that's about 300 pages. And so I don't use the Internet that much, although my husband does use Internet a lot for playing cards.
Sure. Yeah. Sure. So you're probably spending a lot of time in Microsoft Word then?
Absolutely, yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
You know, any of the Apple desktops are going to be great machines. If you have an existing monitor that you like, maybe you just purchased a nice flat screen and you like it and you don't want to get rid of it, a Mac Mini would be perfect. They're fairly inexpensive, and they don't come with a monitor, and they're really small, so they don't take up much room, and they're plenty powerful. If you don't have a monitor, I would probably look at the entry-level iMac. It doesn't sound like the stuff you're doing is very processor-intensive, and the entry-level iMac, I mean, actually, all of the Macs, even the entry-level ones, have pretty serious processors in them. So you're not buying a machine that's underpowered. But what these iMacs have that is just a joy to use is this gorgeous display. Even the 21-inch, it's got a really beautiful display. It's really sharp. The text is really easy to read. The colors are really well saturated. So it's one of those things that you can actually spend a couple of hours in front of without getting eye strain, without, you know, really right. squinting at things. And if you're writing that much, that'd probably be important. The 27-inch iMac is beautiful and it's great, but I think if you're working in Microsoft Word, it might be a little overkill. But what I would do is, if you can, head into an Apple store if you're around one, or a Best Buy, they have them also as well, and just spend a little time in front of one. Take a USB stick, bring your Microsoft Word document with you, and a lot of times these display models will have Microsoft Word on them. You can open up your document and see what it looks like on the different Apple screens and see what's comfortable for you.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, that's a very good tip. Yeah. Thanks a lot, and good luck, Joan.
Thank you.
Appreciate it very much. We have an email from Kay in Waterford, and we'll get to that in just a minute. Joe Rhodes, our guest today, independent computer support specialist. He works out of Madison. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer. I'm Larry Mueller, here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking computers, Apple computers, today with Joe Rhodes. Larry Mueller here. Thank you for listening in. Have a couple of open lines, so if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, give us a ring at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can post a question or comment there. And you should go there anyway, because there's a picture of Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer. I'm looking at it right now on our Facebook page, and there's a doctor with his finger in her mouth. And what he's doing is checking for head and neck cancer. And so it's a nice little video on how easy it is to have someone check, have a physician or a physician assistant check for head and neck cancer.
Well,
so
here I thought you got free dental work when you came to Wisconsin Public Radio.
No, but Judith was very, it was very good of her to come in and sit down while we shot that yesterday on the program. We had an email from Kay in Waterford who said, I left my iPad on an airplane, not sure if I will ever see it again.
Oh, ouch.
Yeah, I changed the password on my email account since I'm not sure if I had signed out of it. Also canceled my Verizon service on the account so no one could use that. What else should I do? I didn't use it to buy things, so no credit card information would be on it. I did not have the locating apps on the iPad, although I read somewhere that these can be overridden to make it difficult to find the iPad again. Is that true?
Well, you can certainly turn it off. Let me start over here. iPads, iPhones, etc. have a service called Find My iPhone. And what it does is it lets you from remote... These things have GPS built into them, and Apple can send it a signal and say, hey, where are you? And it'll respond back with, I'm here. And then Apple will show you that in a web page and show you, okay, where in the world is your device? And then you can do other things like send it a message, make it beep. So, for example, if I left my iPhone in the pants pocket, I can have it beep and then find out where it is and mm-hmm. stop playing that game of where's my phone. And the other thing you can do is you can send it a command to erase your device. But you have to turn that on in advance, because that can be a little intrusive, a little big brother if you don't know it's on. So Apple leaves it off by default. And then on your device, you have to go into the iCloud control panel and turn that on. And once you have turned that on, then you get to do all this stuff. Of course, a crook, if they're aware of this and they're savvy, the first thing they're going to do is go in there and turn it off. If it's just lost and somebody's holding it in a holding bin somewhere at the airline, they probably wouldn't, in which case you can go, oh, I see it's at the United Terminal. I should probably try and call someone there. But if you didn't turn that on in advance, your options are pretty limited. I think you did exactly the right thing by changing your email password. The other thing I would do is go into iTunes. Just, you know, open up iTunes on your computer. Change your iTunes account password. Now, on an iPad or an iPhone, anytime you want to buy a song or an application or something like that, it always asks you for your password before it will actually complete that purchase. So I don't think you have to worry about somebody buying all kinds of music on your dime, but just to be sure, I would go into iTunes and change that password as well.
There you go. And I did see a news article or news item here just recently where someone lost their, was their iPhone or was it an iPad? Might have been an iPad, and they had an app on their machine. And so the police, actually it was in Madison, the police were able to follow or find the person.
Yes. And if, like I said, it's actually really handy, and I it's glad that this came up because I would like to encourage more people. If you have your iPhone or your iPad, go in there, and you're using iCloud, which is, it's a free service, so there's no reason not to. Go in there and turn that feature on. Because like I said, in an emergency, you can do a number of really handy things. You can find out where your phone is. So maybe it didn't get stolen. Maybe you left it someplace and, it's at the restaurant. I should call the restaurant I was at last night. They have my phone. You can send it a message. So, for example, if you find my phone, please call this other number. Or if you're really concerned about it and you have something important on your phone and it's a lost cause, you can then remote wipe it. And it basically will delete everything on your iPhone. You'll never get your iPhone back, but you at least have the reassurance of knowing that somebody is not going through your address book and calling all of your friends and sending them text messages and pretending to be you, because that could be pretty catastrophic.
Let's go to Naomi in Dubuque, Iowa. Hi, Naomi.
Hello.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions. I think they're both pretty quick. My husband has an iTunes account on our desktop that he's had for years and years and years, so it's got tons of music on it.
Sure.
And I just bought an iPhone maybe a month or so ago. So when I bought it, and I don't have an iTunes account because I just used his. So when I bought it, I plugged it into our computer, and it synced up with his iTunes.
Right.
So, like, my iPhone thinks that my name is his, you know, it thinks it's him. So, which is fine, but I guess my first question is there any way to that I can have my own iTunes account or that I can communicate to iTunes somehow that, like, I'm not him?
That you're you and not him?
Right.
Yes, you can. What I am not certain about, and this is just because I'm a, you know, a single household iTunes account kind of guy, I don't know if you're going to still have access to his music library once you do that. But yes, you should be able to go on your device, and I could be wrong. I think you can actually sync multiple iTunes accounts. I know you can have multiple iTunes accounts in the same copy of iTunes. So, for example, you could use your account in iTunes and buy music. Your husband could do that, and all of those songs can live in that iTunes account at the same time. You have multiple authorizations. So I think that should work with your iPhone, but you should be able to go into the iPhone, and it probably is in the iCloud control panel, and sign out as him and sign in as you. And if you don't have an account, you might have to go and create one for yourself.
Okay.
But then you can create an account that's separate. Go ahead.
If I create a separate account, then I won't. Because the reason I used his was because he's got this huge collection of music.
Sure.
And I would be starting from scratch, which I don't really want to do.
Sure.
So.
Sure. No, you would still be able to sync with his copy of iTunes. So you should, if I'm correct, and I'm 80% sure on this one, you should be able to synchronize his iTunes library with your device. But you would basically have a separate iCloud account, which would be you and not him. So then your contacts, your calendars, etc., would be your own and not being shared with him. Does that make sense?
An iCloud account that's mine, that iCloud account is only going to have the information from my iPhone and that's it. In my iTunes.
Correct.
It wouldn't have anything from his iTunes.
Correct. Well, it'll have his, assuming that you still synchronize your music library with his copy of iTunes, it would still have that. And you can actually have multiple iCloud accounts. So, for example, let's say you guys are sharing a calendar between, I don't know if he has a phone as well, but if you are signed into his iCloud account as well, you would be able to see the calendar he's got on his phone, and that would synchronize between both devices. And then you'd also have your own calendar that would only be on your account. I don't know how much you guys like to synchronize your calendars and things like that. So,
up to you.
My second question then is when I so we have a desktop and a laptop, and we didn't have iTunes loaded on the laptop, only the desktop. So when I got the iPhone, I thought, okay, I'm going to get my own iTunes, and I'm going to put it on the laptop, and I'll just kind of use this one because he mainly uses the desktop.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did that, it said that we already had iTunes. I just tried to load iTunes onto the laptop as him.
Sure.
I can't remember. But anyway, it gave me like a message that said that we already had 5 computers that were already using that account.
Right.
And I cannot figure out, because I'm sure over the years he's gotten different computers and stuff, you know, before we were together it was loaded on and then his...
Then they're gone. Right. Yeah, okay.
Right. Yeah, part of what happened was Apple had to put restrictions so you could only authorize up to 5 computers with the same account to play. So, I mean, you could copy the files to 100 computers, but only 5 of them are authorized to play that music or those movies, etc. So what you can do is in iTunes, on his desktop, go into iTunes, and I think somewhere you should have his username. If you click on that, it will go into his account. And there is a way to reset the authorization of which computers are authorized. And I think you can even choose to just reset all of them, which will deactivate all of the computers. And then you just basically, whatever computers
you
do want to run it on, it will pop up a box. And then you type in his username and password. And then that computer will, again, be authorized. And then that way you know which computers are set.
There you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And we've got an email from Mary. I finally decided to upgrade from my iPhone 3G, only to hear that iPhone 5 will be out this year. How will it be different from the 4?
Oh, boy. You know, this is a really good question because, of course, Apple doesn't tell us. The rumors, and this is about all I can tell you, is that right now the iPhone 4 and the iPhone 4S are both glass on the front and the back. Rumors have it that Apple is going to be switching to what they call a unibody design, where they basically etch the device out of a piece of aluminum and then put a cover on the one side. And then it's just a solid piece of aluminum, and they put the pieces inside of it and then put the glass on the top. So rumor has it that is the design direction they're going, but again, just a rumor.
Yeah.
Rumor has it that the screen will be a little bit larger, but again, just a rumor, don't know. I think it's safe to say it will probably have a faster processor because Apple is pretty good about that. I suspect the battery life will be the same or better. We may have more storage. I don't know. Honestly, I try not to get too caught up in what's coming down the pike. I look at what's here now and I say, does this device fit my needs? And I have the iPhone 4S. I got it a couple months ago. I had the the iPhone 3. I love it.
I love the 4S. We have 4S too.
This phone has been just remarkable, and I'm so pleased with it. I really, even if the iPhone 5 comes out, I'm not going to be too disappointed because I like my phone.
Yep. There you go. Benjamin and Madison, we turn to you. Hi.
Hello. I was calling. My question is more related to the operating system side of Apple, and
sure,
I've always been happy with their, you know, they have excellent construction and design and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, I mean, I use Apple in the workplace and I use Apple in my home.
Okay.
And I'm concerned that Apple has seriously abandoned everything in the work world and said, we're just going to feed that to Microsoft or anyone who feels like building Linux boxes, and we're just going to say we don't get involved in that anymore. And I think it started a long time ago, but it really became apparent the last release of their operating system, the 10.7 Lion release last summer, where they said, we don't really support server at all anymore. We're going to really dumb it down. And now the 10.7 version of server, I guess, is pretty much a train wreck. And then the 10.8 version of the software is going to be released, which supposedly merges more with the mobile side of things. So I can see from Apple's standpoint of they sell many mobile devices. That's kind of the way of the world, and they're more of a consumer company than a business company. Have they just totally cut the cord on the business end of things? And should I just, you know, cut my cord as well?
Well, you know, it's difficult to say. What I will tell you is you're correct. Apple is definitely a consumer company, and I think they gave up trying to get in the enterprise world through the front door a long time ago because the information technology officers just didn't like them. Their approach lately has been to sneak in the back door. Basically, they make consumer products that are so good and people love their Macs and their iPhones and their iPads so much that all of a sudden the CEO comes in one day and says, I have an iPhone, technology guy, make this work. And the technology guy is now going, great, now I have to do it. And I think what Apple has been doing is they've been adding bits and pieces to their devices to make them more palatable. Definitely, you can see this in the iPhone and the iPad, where they picked up Exchange support, they picked up encryption support, a lot of things that IT managers were demanding. So that made it certainly more workable, and they're releasing software that makes deployment of these handheld devices a lot easier to do en masse, which makes corporations a lot more easy. I will agree with you, though, on the server side of things. I think Apple has really kind of said, you know, macOS 10 server never really had that great of reception. And I agree with you. 10.7 server is a mess. I love 10.7 on the client. I think it's beautiful and it works great with Microsoft servers. It works great with other servers. macOS 10 server really is a kind of a mess. And I'm hoping that Apple is able to clean this up. I kind of see the direction they're going with it. They kind of fumbled. I'm hoping they're going to be able to pick it back up with 10.8 and kind of get it back into shape. I have a reasonable amount of faith, but I wouldn't say it's time to abandon them in the workplace. They're still keeping workplace required features. macOS 10.7 the client version did add a lot of features that security administrators required to have Macs in the workplace. I'm fairly confident that while Apple isn't selling directly to the technology officers, they're making their products so appealing that everyone else is saying, hey, help me make this work. I would say use what works best for you.
Yeah, there you go. Good luck. Thank you very much for calling, Ben. We have an email from Shara. I just purchased an Apple Mac desktop back in 2005 or 2006. I've never updated the operating system. Looking at purchasing a new camera and was surprised to see that the camera requires the new operating version. Any way around this, or do I have to update my system? If so, how do you recommend updating? And we're going back to 2005. In the future, do you recommend always updating your computer with the latest operating system?
Well, the first thing I would check, if this is a still camera, you may be lucky enough that you can just plug this in. If you're using iPhoto, it may just recognize it. Cameras have a pretty well-defined way of working, and I suspect the software that the camera company created to give you may need a newer version of the operating system. You might have it find out that it just works with Apple's included iPhoto. Now, as far as the operating system goes, 2005 or 2006, I believe that was an Intel-based Mac, and you should be able to upgrade it if you so choose. Depending upon exactly what version of iMac it is, you can probably go to macOS 10.6. I don't think you're going to be able to go to 10.7, but I could be wrong. As far as should you upgrade every time Apple comes out with one, you know, I'm not necessarily one to say that. If you've got a system that's stable and it works, I would say stick with it. If you see some feature coming out in the next version of the operating system that is very appealing to you, then there's an incentive. So it's really a matter of, it's like buying a new car. If the new model of car gives you something that your current one doesn't, then it makes sense to go and get a new one. If your current one is stable and doing everything you needed to do and you're happy enough, then there's not really a reason to upset it. Now I'm talking about major system upgrades as opposed to the little updates that Apple releases for free. Those regular updates you should always do. They don't cost you anything. They shouldn't upset anything on your Mac. Those are regular maintenance. Whether you should upgrade from 10.6 to 10.7 or the upcoming 10.8, it's really a matter of looking at the features and seeing what comes up. Apple's made it really easy to do it. It's $30 usually, and it's something now that happens all online. So they've certainly lowered the barrier. The barrier is much lower than it used to be.
Buddy in Menominee Falls. Hi. Oh, hold on a second here. We got to get Buddy on. There we go. Buddy, hi.
Hi, Joe.
Hello.
How you doing? Listen, I had a question about, I've got a Toshiba laptop, a new one, and I'm trying to record movies. When I put music in, it automatically records it, but it won't record movies. Now, I'm not hooked up to the web, and I can't record MP3s either. That's something I can do without hooking up to the web, or would I have to?
I'm not real sure. You're over in the Windows world with the Toshiba laptop, and I'll be honest, that's not doing multimedia on Windows is not my strongest area of expertise. I'm sure it can be done. We're going to have to get a piece of software that'll do it if you don't already have one. But I'm just I I'm kind of at a loss to give you a good recommendation. I would probably start with Google and start looking for, it sounds like you want to record an MP3. I would start looking at Google and saying, you know, what's a good software for, you know, capturing something from a microphone and recording it to an MP3? I'm positive there's software out there. I just don't know what it is.
There you go. Good luck, buddy. Thank you. Mary purchased an iPad 2 in 2011, November of 2011. How do I find out what my operating system to which I'm connected is? How do I install Java on here? She's worried about the possible virus invasion.
Ah, got it. Well, on your iPad, there is no Java, and there never will be. Apple was very clear about that one. They see Java as a legacy technology, and iPad, they're very happy to not put legacy technology on there. So you can't install Java on the iPad, and you will not have to worry about it ever creating a problem then. But there might be little things you'll miss out on, but honestly, not much. If you want to find out what version of the operating system is running on your iPad, it's easy enough. If you go into the control panel, or what they call system preferences, there is a option there for general. And if you tap on that, somewhere in there, I think there's a option for about. And that will tell you what version of the operating system you're using. If you are using iOS 4 or earlier, well, no, you're using iPad 2, so that would be right. iOS 5. I think somewhere in that same area, there is an option where you can hit a button that will say check for updates, and it will go up to Apple and see if there's any updates for your iPad. It will do that automatically every so often, and it'll pop up a little box and says, hey, there's an update. Honestly, though, there's only been, I think, one or two minor updates for iOS 5, so you probably are already up to date. But, yeah, it's pretty simple.
And finally, from Tad in Appleton, has AT&T for a carrier, anything he can do to improve reception on a 4S?
Not that I can really suggest specifically. The iPhone 4S is a lot better than others, but there is AT&T has the option of what they call a microcell. So if you're in one spot that is traditionally very weak, you can get this microcell, you plug it into the internet, and basically it creates a very small cell tower that your iPhone can then use for voice communication, and then it just sends that data over your internet connection instead of going all the way over to the cell tower, which might be just slightly too far away.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's kind of neat that way, and you can hook up, I think, up to 4 or 5 devices to one of those.
Joe, always a pleasure.
It's been fun.
Thank you so much. You'll come back in about a month or so.
Would love to do so.
We'll do it again. And you are not, you don't have a web page yet.
Well, I've got a web page. I just haven't done much with it recently because, as it turns out, I'm not a web designer. I'm a technician. I'm not an artist.
Oh,
boy.
Well, you're online anyway.
I am, yes. JoeRhodes.com is where you can find a little bit more about me. So.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Joe Rhodes, independent computer support specialist based in Madison, and he'll be back, and we'll talk with him again about Apple computers. Well, they say that using your computer or watching TV too close to bedtime can make it hard to fall asleep, but there are a lot of causes for a bad night's sleep. One of the most serious is sleep apnea. I have that. Do you? Coming up next, Dr. Ruth Benka of the Wisconsin Sleep Clinic and Lab is here, so stay tuned here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.